Welcome to the Law of Attraction in Action podcast. My name is Michelle Joy, and thank you so much for joining me. I'm here to inspire you to live amazing lives through the Law of Attraction and help you see how powerful you really are. In this podcast, you'll hear interviews, and I will give you inspirational talks on my Monday session. So thank you so much for joining me, and happy manifesting! Welcome to Law of Attraction in Action. Thank you so much for joining me on my podcast. My name is Michelle Joy, and I am your host. And today I'm bringing to you an amazing guest who's going to share his story around soulmates. And I know I was doing the Soulmate Saturdays, which I stopped those, but I promised I'm bringing them back throughout my Thursday interview. So I will be interspersingly put in these interviews. And Jeff is actually a dear friend. I've talked about him in my book. He's actually planted seeds in me that have made a difference in my life. So I'm so honored to have you here, Jeff, to talk about soulmate love. So thank you so much for being here.
Michelle, thank you so much for allowing me to be on your show. I'm truly blessed to have met you and attracted you into my life. And we're on our way, right? We are on our way.
Yes, we are. And just because I'd like to give a little bit of background, Jeff used to come to my meetup group that I used to teach in Portland. I know a lot of you have been listening. I heard my backstory. And Jeff, again, is an author himself. And I was one day crying because I was writing my book. And all of a sudden, I'm like, I can't do this. I'm not good enough. And why would anyone read my book? And so I went for a walk. And I'm walking downtown Portland with my sunglasses on, hiding my tears. And then here's this text from Jeff, who I didn't know very well. But he texts out of the blue, which is never out of the blue, guys, right? It's how the universe works. And he goes, how you doing, Michelle? And I'm like, I could have been honest. I could have been dishonest and fine, but instead I said, not good. He goes, well, do you want to talk? And again, I'm crying. I hardly know the guy. And I said, yes. And he calls me and I tell him my sob story and he started laughing, but he was laughing because he knows that a lot of us go through that. So Jeff, I'm just giving that backstory because I'm so grateful for you, because then I went back to my house, saw a flyer for, the Hay House Writers Workshop in San Francisco. And I signed up for that day and I did finish my book. So gosh, that's quite a backstory. But Jeff, I had to share what a difference you made in my life.
Thank you.
Yeah. And that's how people do, right? We're all intertwined.
Yes.
We're all intertwined. So, well, anyway, but Jeff, yes, you're here to talk about soulmates. Again, we talked ahead of time and he's going to come back on the show because he knows a lot about law of attraction. He lives in it. But today we're going to talk about soulmate love because I want you all to hear about his story and I want to hear it too. So Jeff, tell me how you met your wife, and her name's Anne Marie, right? How did you meet Anne Marie?
Anne Marie is my wife's name. And, you know, we met on a dating website. Which, interestingly enough, my neighbor put me on, and I said, I could find anybody I want. I don't want to be on this website. And he said, just give it a week. And at the last day before I was going to delete my app, she popped up. And it was her, like, second day on there. And we instantaneously connected on such a deep level, I can't explain it in words.
And you know, that doesn't happen that often online. At least that wasn't my experience. No. My experience was the exact opposite. Like I got online and I was miserable, but it's good to hear these stories. Cause especially with what's going on with the COVID world, many of us, that is the only way for people to meet is online.
Right, so I think
in some ways there's more people, but it's not a matter of that's the place you knew you'd found her energetically. I bet you did a lot of work to attract her. So tell us the backstory on how you got there.
So the backstory was you knew Rebecca. That was the person I was with when I started coming to see you out in Beaverton. And we got married and stuff. And it, as soon as we got married, I did not feel right. We were not connected. And we were trying so hard to be connected and to make it work. But at the end of the day, after 8 months of being married to her, I said, I love you so much. I need to let you go. because you want to be in Chicago with your family. I want to be here in Portland. And I think we need to get a divorce. It was really hard for me to say that. It was a defeating feeling. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know what? You're right. I'm out of here. And she packed her stuff up and left. And we filed the process and everything. And she still texts me to this day. She's really thankful. And I tell her I'm really thankful as well. I mean, it was a win-win situation. But I was feeling, I stopped. All I did was I started reading my book, Think and Grow Rich. And I kind of locked myself in my apartment when I lived in Sherwood, Oregon. And I read the book and I went to work. And that's all I did. Mm-hmm. That's all I did. And that's all I focused on. And I had a moment where I was like, you know what? It was a self-confidence thing. I built up the self-confidence. You know, I used to do life coaching and stuff. I quit all of that. I wanted to fine-tune Jeff. I wanted to get rid of all distractions and say, what do I want? What is it I want? And the beautiful thing about past relationships, if your listeners are experiencing negativity in a past relationship, there's nothing negative about it. These past relationships are showing us things we like and dislike. And if they're interested in moving towards a new relationship, they're taking the attributes that they have. And Anne-Marie is the accumulation of everything I've ever wanted in a soulmate.
So you did a lot of research is what I call it, right? Ahead of time. That's why you said there's no bad past relationships. They're just research, I think, on what you are liking and what you're not liking. And you're putting the ask into the universe. And then it brought you Anne-Marie.
Exactly. And it took, 25 years of searching, but I had a great time. I had great experiences. Life is supposed to be like a buffet. We're not supposed to just go into a restaurant and say, I want food, bring it now. You order off a menu. Oh, I like a little bit of this. I like that. Oh, I like, and as you change and grow as a person, your tastes grow,
Yeah. And I'm glad you mentioned that.
So fitting.
Yeah, when we change and grow. So that's the thing. When you met Rebecca, I think you were going through a huge change yourself, right? As far as you're coming more into your own, you're becoming more intuitive into spirituality. And I saw that because I remember you and I hung out soon after you're married and I saw the red flags then. You were like, but I love that you, but I don't say that in a bad way. But I noticed you were weren't happy. And I thought, oh no. And the problem, when I say, oh no, is because most people who are unhappy relationships will stay with it until they're bleeding. And this is what you did not do. Yes. And this is the part about what you did. I really respect, Jeff.
I was reading, you're right. I was reading Jack Canfield. He has a book. He was one of the guys on The Secret. I'm sure everybody knows what The Secret is. And, he wrote a book called Success Principles. And in a book, he pretty much said, and it scared the living daylights out of me because as I'm reading this book, he says, if you're in a bad relationship and you have a bad feeling, pack your bags, get up and leave. Life's too short. Exactly what you just said. Mm. And I'm thinking, I'm looking around for my backpack and my suitcase. And I'm like, whoa, why am I wanting to do this? You know what I mean?
Right. Crazy. But you listen to that. Intuitive and again, factor. And that was a loving thing. Again, I'm pointing all these little things out because I think they're really, really good messages for everyone listening. But the gift you gave Rebecca was letting her go. Yes. You loved her enough to let her go because she can't find her soulmate if she's tied up with the wrong person and vice versa.
Yes.
And so so good for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the last conversation we had, she was like, I'm so thankful I met you. And I was in Portland at the time I was in. And I moved back to Chicago and I said, because she's in a beautiful relationship. I'm not too sure what the dynamics are, but and I was just, I told her all I wanted to do was love you. And I still love you. You're happy. That's awesome. You know, I think people knows Wayne Dyer's ego is edging, got out, or edging whatever he got out of your life. People stick, people stick too long, and they now the ego is good because it's, you know, it's why I put on this shirt today, and, you know, why I picked white headphones. You know, it's helps me make decisions. But if you rely too heavily on it, you'll be stuck in situations for decades.
So we got to let go of what's not working for us so we can allow the right person to come into our lives. And you did the right thing by letting that go. So what, so you said you locked yourself into your apartment, you read Think and Grow Rich. What else were you doing? Were you getting, writing lists or what were you doing?
Well, yeah, I did my affirmation board. You know, I put on, I did all the stuff. I put places I wanted to go, people I wanted to meet. I put my little cut out, my little face on the places and stuff, you know, so I was there, you know, because if you see yourself in the affirmation, I think it's a lot more stronger. With that, I call my grandma. I call my grandma quite a lot. She said, you know what? You know, act, she was telling me this, act as if. And I said, well, every night before I go to bed, I have a clump of laundry. I hold like a man. And before I knew it, my 90, you know, oh God, I think she was 94. She passed away. God rest her soul a couple of years ago, but she attracted her soulmate, the guy to live below her in her apartments. And every night she said, so I started doing that. I started.
How old was she when she met her soulmate?
She was in her 90s.
Oh, see, there's hope, people. There's hope. Let's hope we don't have to wait until we're 90s, but yes.
Love does not know age. Love does not know age. You could be 80 years old, you find your soulmate, and you're both running around your house naked, acting like you're 20.
which none of us really want to envision. You know? Thank you, Jeff. But yes. we'll just leave that somewhere else. But so she encouraged you to act as if. What did you do to act as if? Let's get specific if you don't mind.
Well, I started doing an exercise, which I think it's common. I think if your viewers don't know this, I started with myself, and I was looking myself in my mirror every morning before I would go to work or before I would go running or whatever I was doing. And I would look myself in the eyes and say, I love you. Almost similar to the exercise we used to do at your meetup where I'm here to see you.
Oh, you remember that? I love that.
Yes.
I'm here to be seen. I see you.
I'm here to be seen. I see you. I'm here to be seen. I see you. I do that with people to this day. If they're struggling with stuff, you know how impactful that is to connect with somebody on that deep emotional level? I was staring at myself right in the eyes saying, Jeff, I love you. And I tell people, do it. People are afraid to do it. It's a powerful exercise. And I think I was evoking those emotions and that message out to the universe. And we're receiving and transmission stations, right? That's all through Think and Grow Rich. And I was receptive. I let my heart open to receiving Anne-Marie.
Right, because so when you are love, you attract more love. So when you are love, you're saying to yourself, I love you. Your love factor then explodes. You become a huge magnet for that specific energy, which is love. And then you became a really great lighthouse.
Lighthouse. I love that. Yes, yeah. I was.
Yes.
I mean, I was just giddy.
Yeah. So when you met for the first time, how did it feel?
It felt old. It felt like old people. Not old people, but we already kind of, like, it was weird because when I was on my break at work, I was scrolling through the little profile things, and there was a picture of her holding her dog. And I had just had two dogs with Rebecca. And I says, oh, cute dog. And she says, hey, you know, thank you. And we were just talking like we had already known each other. That was the most interesting thing I've never experienced in my life, was not knowing somebody, you're talking like you already know them. And then I says, is it okay if I call you? Or she says, yeah, sure. And that was another step. It's like, wow, are you sure I don't know you? You know, it was just, it was an interesting feeling, a familiar feeling. Maybe it's because we're both the same age. And we're both in our mid 40s. At the time, we're both in our early 40s, but you know, there was a familiarity, can't say that word, to her, you know.
Tell us more, because I think a lot of people think the one is that person that there's fireworks and there's like, I'm so excited and they're super hot and there's all this chemistry. Right. I find soulmate love isn't that. What do you think?
Well, I believe that when we're connected to source, we are in tune with being as good as we can be, right? And the fireworks, the sparks and stuff happen, the explosions happen, right? But as you get back to your value system and your interpretation of the world, the other person will go into their value system and you go, wait a minute, why don't you do laundry? Or, you know, these things pop up, right? That's always, I think, in the beginning of a relationship. But communication and letting, you know, I told her when we first met, we first started getting serious, I said, I will never put you on a pedestal and I will never put you in a pit. You'll always be on my level in my heart. Because I believe it's, you can see it all through society. You know, as soon as you get infatuated with somebody, you put them on a pedestal.
Yes, that's what I mean. It's and a pedestal feeling you that you don't want.
Forget about yourself. And then all of a sudden you want to throw them in the pit. And then the ABCs of negativity pop up, you know? And then the coulda, woulda, shouldas pop up. Always, and I'm so blessed. I have been reading and researching all of this stuff. I read Gary Chapman's book, The Five Love Languages, before I had someone to love. Because I wanted to be ready to receive my soulmate.
Right. And you wouldn't settle for anything less.
No, I had too much self-confidence. Right. Which is something I had acquired. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, that's a really interesting thing, Jeff, because a lot of my soulmate interviews, the common theme is most people love themselves. That's the theme. They had to fall in love with themselves first in order to find their soulmate. Yes. That's universal. Now, what you're saying is when you love yourself, you would never put up with anything less. Like, you love yourself enough to be like, I deserve the best relationship possible because I love myself that much. So maybe that's why soulmates attract that great love, because they won't settle for anything less. I think that's a factor.
And as humans, we have behavior patterns that are established depending on how you're grown up or raised or where you're raised at in the world. You settle. You settle for what you think is. And sadly, people in those states come up short.
Right. You know, I'm recently listening to the Celestine Prophecies. I'm listening to my drives between Portland and Bend all the time. And one of the teachings is, have you read it?
I've dabbled in it, you know, but it's something I want to revisit.
Yeah. It's really, really good. I recommend it.
It's been, you know how the universe gives you signs and stuff. You're not the only person that has told me, oh, you got to read this book. Actually, I was on a podcast and the host said, have you read this book?
That's sounds what, like you've how read it worked for me. Same thing happened to me. I had two or three people mention to me. I'm like, okay, okay, I hear you. I will read it. But one of the teachings is that we cannot, being obsessed with another person is not good for us. And oftentimes we, what happens when you get obsessed with another person, like we do when we are infatuated or when we fall in love, most people, you lose yourself. So what it talks a lot about energy. And so if you fall in love with someone or you have this infatuation and you're not secure with where you're at, what you're doing is you put all of your energy into that other person. Well, that other person after a while may not show up the way you want them to. And all of a sudden you're pissed off. You're like, you need to hold that space for me because I'm putting all my happiness and joy and energy into you. And so that's where it's so important to not find a relationship that makes you go like, And don't get me wrong, like my soulmate, I love him beyond words. But for me, I'm always responsible for my own happiness. And I know that. And and I'm just so happy to love him. I'm more happy to love him than what he gives to me. Like, because I'm filled up because of spirit. Thought it was really interesting because so many people go into relationships thinking, oh my gosh, it's that fireworks. It's that those intense feelings. I think in even Buddha and Buddhism, they say that if you see those intense feelings, run away. Because it's for me and my soulmate, we still are best friends. And that's the familiarity you have with Anne-Marie.
Yeah.
Is the good foundation. And it's like you saying, you didn't want to put her on a pedestal or in a pit.
Right. Right.
Oh, I love that, Jeff. Sorry. I went on a whole tangent, but
no, that's fine. No, that's what we love doing is communicating and going on tangents together.
Yes. Yeah. It's like everyone, you may as well be having coffee with me. I am drinking my chai latte and
I have water. I have my cup of coffee. I'm doing a lot of intermittent fasting and stuff like that. And trying to keep this 45-year-old looking 25,
Right. Oh, you look great, Jeff. But tell me some more This is a great conversation. Okay. I love conversations about love. What do you think a soulmate relationship is? I know I keep spewing out my views and what I've learned, but what has it been? Why is Anne-Marie so different for you?
I think Anne-Marie is so different for me because she's authentically her. Right. And she doesn't have the same values I have. And, sometimes we bicker about things like everybody does because, we're on different value systems. But at the end of the day, she loves herself as well. Mm-hmm. She loves herself as well. And she's been through the ringer with previous marriage and previous relationships. And she's filtered out through her life what she wanted and didn't want. So mm-hmm. I guess you can call it luck in some aspects, but we both happen to be on the same, well, it's not luck, it's attraction. We both happen to be on the same plane level mm-hmm. when we first met.
Vibration. You were on the same vibration. You just completely matched up. And so that's the debate with soulmates and why I want to do this show or talk about soulmates is because when some people talk about soulmates, they think it's like, okay, we were together in many lives before this and we will always be together because we're soulmates. And there's the twin flames and there's just different ways of looking at it. But what I do feel like my soulmate, like we are so alike that I cannot help but feel like we've been together many lives. But I also come from the place with law of attraction is we are vibrationally matching up completely. And that's why it feels so great.
Yes.
What are your views on all that?
The same, if you have to be in harmony with the person you're with and it goes beyond the physical, senses, you have to be in tune with, I feel like in a way I married Snow White and I knew that's the person I wanted to be with. She's very kind to animals. We have two little dogs and, it's her essence, her spirit mm-hmm. that makes her who she is, and she's very, very honest. And I'm a very honest person as well. And that was another attribute that she had that I attracted. And I'm sure she was attracting the same out of me, two people, have to be in sync on a vibrational level, like you were saying, in order to be able to coexist. And the longer we're together, the deeper this thing of ours becomes.
Right, right. Some people always say, the relationship's best at the beginning. I actually find it the opposite. I think our relationship's gotten so much better the longer we've been together because it's so deep and we know each other and we're always learning about each other. At the beginning, I remember just even going to the grocery store together felt awkward. Because we didn't know each other very well. And it was like, this is just feeling awkward that we don't know how the other shops. I know it's a silly thing, but now I'm still learning about him. We're still growing. And I just love him more and more every day. So with you and Anne-Marie, how long have you been together now?
We've been together, going on 2015 is when we met, October 2015. And when we first met and connected, she went on a trip for a week. She went down with her family down to Puerto Rico. Anyways, and I thought, oh, well, there goes that, you know. But I wasn't giving negative energy towards that experience. And then I wasn't able to call her. And I thought, you know, I'm just going to let it open. I emailed her and says, I've been thinking about you. And when she came back, the first thing she did was call me. She goes, I couldn't stand being away from you. It was really, and I go, you know, it's interesting. I felt the same way.
So you just knew. You just knew that.
Yeah. It was awesome. And then I really, to really seal the deal, you know, I was in my little apartment cleaning. She was at work. And I was listening to this, you know, like a podcast. And the person, it was like a live event. And the person had a guest speaker up. And it was kind of a similar topic to this. And I stopped what I was doing to listen. And this guy was talking about the same topic we're talking about true love, you know, soulmate stuff. And he says he was sharing a personal experience where he was in the middle of a business deal or something. And his wife looked at him and said, I need you to come into the, I need you to come hold me right now. And he was like on the phone, what are you talking about? She goes, well, no, you need to come hold me right now. You need to hold me. He goes, what is the matter? You know, they're like, I think they're in their 30s or something. And she goes, I love you. And then died in his arms. She had a massive heart attack. And I thought, whoa. Like, I started to tear up. And I was like, what if that happened to Anne-Marie? Like, wow, I can't. I had to call her and say, it was the first time I said, I love you. You know? But it was so powerful. I get teared up now, you know. It's a beautiful thing to be that in tune and in deep with somebody. And that story just kind of jerked me. I was just like, man, you know, that was circumstances that person had attracted, but at the same time, that hit me in a good way.
Well, and because I think what happens is when, like with me working in hospice, it's like working with the dying.
There's
a point where you go like, okay, how could I live even more? How could I do more? Like, how could I love more? How could I enjoy these moments more when you're faced with death? And so that moment you had like, oh crap, life is not, at least this life is not infinite. I believe our souls are infinite, but this physical life is not infinite. Right, and so you need to take advantage of that. And I think so many people, I've read this in a lot of books. I've read a lot of soulmate stories. Some people don't realize their soulmate's right in front of them because they have so many barriers of fears and walls, and they don't want to get vulnerable. I had a guest talk about dating, and she said, it's so important to get vulnerable. And that's how we truly fall in love, is through vulnerability. And you're a very vulnerable person. I can tell. I'm not just knowing you. You've always been. So you need to attract that as well. But when with having that moment of clarity, like you could have been that guy who said, you know what? I've been married already. It didn't work out. Forget it. It's not for me. But instead you kept your heart open. So the message here, I think, is keep your heart open. Right.
Yeah. You know what? When I was single, before I met Anne-Marie, I was like, well, this is great. What can I do to bring what I want into my life? Mm-hmm. And that's when I started doing the mirror work, you know, reading the book, reading Think and Grow Rich over and over again, loving myself. Because a lot of times we're programmed and trained to not to go, well, you messed up again, or this is your fault. You always do this and that, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
It's this self-talk that people don't understand is so powerful, and it accumulates and builds up. And you know, anything that is a belief is just something you tell yourself over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what a belief is. So I changed the whole thing. No, I believe in true love. I believe in the soulmate.
Yes.
I believe, because the ego side of Jeff was like, oh, there you go again. Another divorce, you know. You know, you're just going to be an old single man living in your apartment in Sherwood with a bunch of shoes and books.
Right. And especially like in our 40s, right? You and I were single in our 40s, and you're like, oh crap, there's no hope for us. Like, it's ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, I meet people in their late 20s and they're freaking out. I'm like, trust me, love comes at any age. You're okay.
Yeah, that's what I was saying about the 80-year-old, you know? Love does not know age.
Right.
Love does not know age.
You know, you talk a lot about Think and Grow Rich, and before we came on the show, you said there's something in the book you wanted to read. Is this a good time for you to share this?
Sure. It's just
tell us a little backstory about this book to you.
So this book has been something if you could see, it's falling apart. I've read it over and over again. It's the only book I read that resonates with me. The other book that really has the same power and impact and on myself is Asking It Is Given by Esther and Jerry mm-hmm. Hicks. Mm-hmm. Is the only other book that's, it's like, this really makes absolute sense. And the stuff that they, Dr. Dyer puts out, mm-hmm. or had put out. But I, you know, when I first started, when I was introduced to the Law of Attraction, of course, like many people, I was through watching The Secret. Mm-hmm. And I first listened to the audio, then I got the video. And I started listening to Bob Proctor. I resonated with him. Mm-hmm. And he kept talking about Think and Grow Rich, this book. You know, he carries the book around with him. He's had it for like 40 years. And I got a copy of it. And it's really transformed my life. You know, there's been multiple people I know that have picked this book up and become multimillionaires. And there's been people that are still broke. And it's all mindset. It's all the message you're getting out of the book. So this is page 36 in the self-confidence formula. Self-confidence being the key to attracting, you know, it can be love, perfect health, whatever you want. I'm just going to read the second little thing here. I realize that dominating thoughts in my mind will eventually produce themselves in outward physical action and gradually transform themselves into physical reality. So every thought mm-hmm. that is impressed long enough becomes a physical reality. Mm-hmm. I will concentrate my thoughts for 30 minutes daily upon the task, 30 minutes daily, me doing the mirror work or like meditating or you know, just laying in my bed, looking over at someone that's not there. The dog's barking, sorry. That's a podcast for you, right? Knowing that the person I want to be there will be there. Mm-hmm. Upon the task of thinking of the person I intend to become, thereby creating in my mind a clear and mental picture. Mm-hmm. People don't do that enough. Thank you for letting me read that, by the way.
Yes, of course. That's one of my favorite books too, by the way. Think and Grow Rich is this is the book I've read the most as well. But thank you for sharing that. Yeah, you have to really see. And again, I want to tell people, don't see like exactly what the person looks like. You know, I had this thing, for some reason, I like shorter men. I'm like almost 5'8", and I didn't like tall guys. And it's so weird because most women like tall guys, but I was like shorter men. And then here comes my soulmate who's like 6 foot. And I'm like, he's a little too tall for me, which he's absolutely gorgeous. And he's very gorgeous, but
he's like a looking guy.
He's a very good looking guy, but his height was intimidating to me at first. Isn't that funny? So that wasn't in. I'm like, no, I don't want a tall guy. My brothers were all big, and my older brother, 1-2 years older than me, was kind of a bully to me. So I think that's where I put that. I didn't like bigger guys thing.
Yeah.
But long story short, like, he is the most beautiful man on the planet, but I didn't see it right away because I had this thing in my mind, I want a shorter guy. So and my point is, though, we can't really make it this like perfect version of what they're going to look like. It's an essence that you cannot make up. And the essence about who they are is what is so attractive. When you meet your soulmate, you will know in that sense. And then even if they may not physically look how you thought they would, you will immediately shift that energy once you connect with their essence. And then all the blinders come off from your own ways of seeing life. So.
Yeah. When we first met for the first time physically, you know, you're looking at pictures online, and I put a picture up with on my profile of me and my grandmother, and I put a little princess hat on my grandmother,
Oh.
And she's like, oh, I gotta, I mean, this guy doesn't seem like a creepo, you know?
Right,
and,
right.
But when we first met, I said, listen, if I'm not who you think I am, or if you get a bad vibe, you know, give me a sign somehow and I'll excuse myself to the bathroom and you can leave.
So
we're playing a game like that. She goes, well, better yet, I'll just sit at a table with a bunch of people and say that I'm your Russian bride and you're here to pick me up. we were having fun, you know?
Yeah.
Life's supposed to be fun. You're supposed to play and enjoy yourself.
Yes. Well, so to wrap this up, Jeff, thank you so much for this and the story, but to wrap this up, what's the last bit of advice you want to give people who are single and have maybe been trying to look for a while? What would you give them to attract their soulmate?
First, love is ultimately self-love. You get in tune with your personal love and let go of the oars. Don't fight. Let go and let your heart guide you. And like you were saying, it might not be in the form you think it's in, but it's going to be there. If it's what you are attracting into your life, it's going to be there.
Yeah.
It will ultimately be there.
It will. And if your neighbor says get online, you just do it. Just kidding.
Yeah, well, he was drinking downstairs and he's building a profile for me because I had just gotten divorced. And I go, I don't want to do this. He's like, just give it 1 week. 1 week. Okay. Because there's an intuitive thing there too. I was like, it wasn't a bad feeling. It was a kind of a funny feeling. Okay, yeah. I haven't done this in a while. You know, I'll see what's out there.
Right.
Life is so like a buffet. It's supposed to be selection. You're supposed to, and that's how we can create and pick and choose more of what we want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Well, anyways, thank you, Jeff, for sharing. Oh, no. Thank you for sharing your journey. I'm so happy for you. I have not met Anne-Marie yet, but I'm excited to meet her someday.
Oh, yeah. You guys will be like that. You're like, whoa, she's cool.
I love it. I love it. And I love you, Jeff, and all that you're doing. I cannot wait to have you back on my show. We're going to do another interview. Where you can talk about all the things you've been doing, because we're totally aligned. Jeff knows this stuff. He lives it. He like Think and Grow Rich. He's read the book for what, 10 years or something. Like you really,
it's been over 10
know
years.
This stuff. Right. And so I'm excited for you to share your wisdom with my people. So, well, thank you, Jeff, so much. And everyone for
Michelle,
listening.
I'm so blessed to.
Oh, go on.
Oh, I'm just going to say, I'm so blessed to have to be on your show. And you are an amazing person. I love you so much. And I hope I was able to impact someone's life today.
Yes, I believe you did. I believe you did. Well, thank you, Jeff. And thank you everyone for listening. I hope you're inspired by this as much as I am. I don't want any of you to feel like there's no true love. There's no soulmate out there for you, because there is, do not give up on it, please. Like what Jeff said, just believe it's possible and it will happen. So thank you again for listening. I hope you all have a wonderful day and happy manifesting. Thank you again for listening and joining me on my podcast. If you want to learn more about me, please go to my website at michelle-joy.com. That's michelle-joy.com. And on there, I have lots of goodies, including guided meditations and inspirational posts and blogs. And of course, I'm here to help you as your coach. So thank you for listening and have a wonderful day.